They say seeing is believing, but only a split second of time separates the past from the future. The present is crushed between them. A thin thread of life in a skein of death.
Laura!
Who are you looking at?
I don't know what's happening.
You are warned. Things are not what they seem. Don't look now.
What is it, Mr. Baxter? What is it you fear?
Find him. You must find him.
You must
warn him
back.
It was a warning. It was Christine. She was trying to warn us.
Your life is in danger while you're in Venice.
What is it you fear?
Christine is dead. She is dead.
Did she die suddenly?
Laura! Laura!
John, I wish you'd believe me.
She is dead!
You must find
her! Dead!
You are warned. Things are not what they seem. Don't look now.
Where you going, Rudy?
Goddamn club, aren't I?
Hey everyone, this is Justin.
And Anna.
And we're here this week for the Reddit Horror Club to talk about Anna's selection, Don't Look Now. Classic film from the mid-70s, early to mid-70s, I believe it was 73.
I believe so.
Yeah, featuring Donald Sutherland and Julie Christie and some other interesting stuff. So without further ado, I'm gonna let Anna give us a little brief why she selected it and, maybe a little bit about, her history with this movie as since it was her selection.
And now our feature presentation.
All right. Back in 2005, Bravo, before it became the flamboyant Housewife Network, they used to show things that were a little more interesting, such as the 100 scariest movie moments that they released.
That's amazing. I have those on my computer downloaded because I used to watch them every year, and then I had to get a copy because they don't play them anymore. So we're on the same page. That thing is awesome.
Yeah, I watch it every year, too. It's on YouTube now, so I can rewatch it. They had some follow-up installments. But anyway, so Don't Look Now was on that list. And I had never heard of it. I had never heard of it before that, but I went through systematically over the course of a year and watched every one of the movies that I hadn't already seen.
Wow, that's awesome.
Which is something I recommend that everyone who's into horror should definitely do. But yeah, so I went out like the next day to Borders before it went out of business.
We're plugging a lot of things that don't exist in the same manner as they used to.
Yeah, right. But I went to Borders and picked up a copy, which in a side note, I just found out since my personal copy that I bought back then is gone to shit now. I just found out that last year Criterion did a treatment for it on Blu-ray. So I'm going to have to go pick that up pretty soon.
That's awesome. I'm sure I wonder if there's any cool special features. Well, I'm sure there are, but...
Oh, yeah. Awesome. I mean, that's what Criterion is famous for.
Right. Definitely. Awesome. So what about this film, jumped out at you when you were selecting a film saying, I should have everybody watch Don't Look Now?
Well, I'm not big on the occult at all, as I've mentioned several times this round. But this one, the occult, it's not too heavy in there. You know, there's just like premonitions and these psychic women. And it's not heavy on the like satanic stuff. So it was more in the vein of something that I would pick for this round. Plus, cool. I've just been waiting to pick this movie for a while. You know, I've got a list of things still that I haven't gone through. So, it's Daphne du Maurier, and I'm a big fan of her work. You know, she wrote Hitchcock's film Rebecca, or she wrote The Basis of Rebecca, and The Birds as well. So she is like, you know, a famous short story writer with, you know, suspense elements. And this film is also, you know, it's not just a thriller. It's really a story of grief between these two people. And grief, you know, can be horrific. And it's beautiful. It's beautifully done. There's all these motifs, like the red coat and the water. And the impending of death. Like, there's lots of scenes throughout the movie where someone almost dies from a fall. Like, she falls in a restaurant and ends up in the hospital. Her little boy falls at school, and she has to rush back to go see him. You know, one of the priests that they're working on the church, rebuilding the church, mentions that his father died from a fall in the church. The little girl, their daughter, fell into the lake and drowned. There's just a lot of dread in this movie. But also, you know, and, you know, he keeps, I think I might be rambling a little bit, but
that's okay.
It's just a great movie. And there's so many reasons why I love it, and it's so beautifully done, and it's well acted, despite the controversy around the extended sex scene, which I've got a funny story about.
Oh, okay. So you that was gonna be my next question. The sex scene. Was it really one of the most controversial sex scenes of its era in a mainstream film? Because it's horribly graphic. I mean, horribly as in just very. Like, it's a very graphic sex scene. It's about as graphic a sex scene as I've seen, not in pornography. I mean, that's really the truth. So, you said you have a story about the sex scene?
Well, too, now that you made me think about it. Well, it's so graphic. It's so graphic that Julie Christie's boyfriend at the time, Warren Beatty, was reported to have flown all the way from America to, Italy, where I guess they were filming it at the time, just to be like, hey, this isn't cool.
Right.
But a personal funny story. After I had bought the movie, I hadn't actually watched it yet. You know, I fresh out of the cellophane, and I was at my brother's house, and he's, you know, 15 years older than me. So him and my mom and my stepdad, we're in the living room, and I popped this in, and I had to endure that scene with them in the room. It was the most embarrassing thing of my life.
Right, and the thing is, you weren't prepared for it. Like, even if you were let's just say you decided still to show the movie, you know, even though you knew it was in there, you would have known to, like, duck out for a little while, so you wouldn't have to be there at that point, or, you know, at least prepare yourself mentally.
I was mortified. And, like, I just looked around the room, and we're all just, like, red as can be.
Oh, that's great. Because, oh, God, that's funny. So parents and, you know, older sibling of a good chunk of time, so there's a lot of different generations there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, man. Yeah.
It was pretty good.
And I definitely think that, I mean, honestly, I could see why it was as controversial as it was, for sure. I mean, you get to see pretty much all of both of them, and not just see it, but you get to see them, you know. They both to this day say that it was simulated. I don't know that I believe it.
Yeah, they fervently say that it was. One of the production guys released a memoir saying that he was there on the day of the set and that it was absolutely not, but both Christie and Sutherland vehemently deny that.
Yeah. a former Variety editor who was a Paramount executive at the time was there, and he claimed, this is his direct quote, he could see Sutherland's penis moving in and out of Christie. I don't know. I can't quite see that, but you see all but that.
Yeah. Well, you know,
it's really hard to simulate the oral sex that they did, they're right in there, man.
Yeah, it's true. For the censors, so that they would get an R rating and not an X rating in America, you know, they cut the unique editing of how, you know, it's like sex scene, them getting dressed ready to leave, sex scene, them getting dressed ready to leave. That was just so you wouldn't see the thrusting. That's how they edited around getting an X rating.
Interesting. And then I think they still got an X in Britain, or whatever their equivalent. That's not an X. It's like a whatever.
They got an R rating. They did. They managed to edit it down to an R.
Good. Yeah, I know it was an R here. I just didn't know. But that's good. Well, that's good. But I mean, man, you know what's interesting about that is that one of the things that they've always that in a lot of things I've read about the film. They get praised for that editing in that scene because it's so unique and so well done. So it's funny that they did it out of necessity and not out of, you know, artistic reasons initially, you know?
Well, you know, I think Nicholas Rogue, just made lemonade out of lemons.
Yeah. Yeah. That's fair. I really think this movie's great. Probably don't have anything negative I could say about it. There are points where it's a little slow or whatever, but not in a bad way. Again, I think we talked about that with a couple movies this round, that they have some slow burn kind of stuff, but that's okay. I mean, the sense of dread in this film, even though a wholly different film than last week's film, the sense of dread is definitely what drives both of them. And I think, you know, Ty West being a modern director who does that, and Nicholas Rogue, obviously, you know, a director of another era who's done that. And even in his non-horror stuff, there's a lot of dread, a lot of, you know, I've only seen a few of his films, but I definitely, even in science fiction film, Man Who Fell to Earth with Bowie, there's a lot of weird, like, feeling of, I don't know, just stuff looming over. So, I mean, I definitely think that he's got something about him that really preys on that too. So I like that. I mean, I don't know that I can watch films like this on the regular. They're not movies I watch strictly to be entertained.
It's a heavy film. Like, watch it, it stays with you for a while. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why most people can't just watch it over and over again.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, and a lot of the best films I've ever seen fall into that category, whether they're horror or they're something else. I mean, I, to this day, you know, I think I mentioned last week that I've been fascinated by, you know, a couple different types of groups of people, one being hate groups, and one of my favorite films of all time is American History X, and
that movie's brutal.
Very brutal. I mean, extremely brutal. But that said, even though I can't watch it regularly, I still love that film. I mean, there's some, you know, and so I think that this maybe is not quite on that level of brutal for me, but it's definitely that kind of thing where it sticks with you and you count it among some of your favorites, but you probably only pull it out every once in a while. I'm going to stash this one for sure.
Me too, of course.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and I have a copy of it. You are going to get a new copy of it.
Yeah.
And, so obviously, quite literally, I'm stashing this one.
Right.
It's just a great film. I like Donald Sutherland, period. To be honest, I can't think of a lot of other stuff Julie Christie's been in, and I know there's a lot.
Dr. Zhivago.
Oh, you know, I haven't seen Zhivago in a really long time.
Fahrenheit 451.
Again, I haven't seen that in a really long time. That's actually a book that I freaking love.
I
need
love
to go back
that
and
book.
Watch that movie again. I have not seen that movie in a long, long time. Hmm.
Awesome. Well, definitely I have some other non-horror things to put on my to-do list of movies for sure, because I definitely should be watching both of those sometime soon. But so, you know, obviously both are actors who have a great pedigree, and so and not, you know, both in artsy films and in genre films, you know, they're kind of got a wide array, so that's a good thing. I like that kind of diversity, for sure. And I mean, I love Donald Sutherland in things like The Italian Job.
Yeah,
you know, as an old man, you know, I'm a fan. So ultimately, I like him. I like his son too. I'm a Kiefer Sutherland fan. Why not? But anywho, any other things to say? As I'm like my undying love for Kiefer Sutherland. But I don't know. Have we ever covered? Has the Horror Club ever covered Lost Boys?
I don't know. I'd have to look back through.
We're going to have to look into that, yeah. Yeah, definitely have to look into that, because that's a good film. A lot of fun.
I don't feel like we have, but I could be wrong. We've watched a lot of movies at this point.
Yeah, yeah. Well, this is number 220 or 219?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, it's a lot. I mean, I've only been around for, you know, I guess at this point, like five rounds. But, man, it's, yeah, it's been quite a few films, and I know in your early rounds you had tons of films.
Like the first and second round we had like 30 or 40 members.
Wow.
And then people just really dropped off like flies, man.
and with that, you know, that's something. If anyone's listening to this and it has not, somehow you stumbled across this podcast through, you know, the Farsighted website or an iTunes search for whatever movie, this movie or another movie that you're interested in. If you stumbled across this podcast, please go check out the Reddit Horror Club subreddit, which is r/horrorclub. This pretty much what the focus is for us is to have great discussions about different stuff. And sadly, we don't have a huge membership, but the people that are there have a lot to contribute, which I really appreciate. And the last few weeks, we've gotten some people who are, you know, I don't know, new names. So hopefully those people are going to stick around. And, you know, we welcome anyone listening, please, to come join us there for sure.
Yeah, we could definitely use some more active members. There's only, like, maybe, I would say from week to week, there's, like, maybe 5 to 10.
Yeah,
that are really active.
Depending on the week, yeah, depending on the week, it's anywhere from 5 to 10. That's about right.
Yeah, so. It used to be a lot more, so please come join us. And if you left us, please return.
Yes, please come back. So... Anna, what kind of stuff do you have to mention or plug or anything that you've been into lately?
Well, I have another. I just came for the food article coming out tomorrow, I believe. It is on Mountain Dew Black Label, which you've probably seen interesting commercials for.
I haven't tried it yet. I have a weird relationship with Mountain Dew. In that, I used to really, really, really love Mountain Dew, and then I kind of stopped drinking it altogether. And now I drink Diet Mountain Dew occasionally, but I do like to try the stuff they come out with. I'm a real big fan of the Mountain Dew Kickstart Hydrating Boost Pineapple Orange one. I don't know. I really like that.
That one's good. I believe they have it on tap at Taco Bell.
They have a different flavor, but they do have the Kickstart. Yes, yes. Yeah.
Oh, where I am, they have the orange one.
Oh, you bastards! Why I'm stuck with like, you know, some green stuff. Well.
I'll trade you.
Well, we can't quite do that, but it'd be great.
I know.
So people can read about that, and I think you have a couple others coming up. You've mentioned M&M's before.
The nut M&M's. There's a coffee one, a chili one, and a honey nut one.
So interesting. Some of them sound like the chili just weird to me, but it's interesting.
And then I've got a tale of two melons, or two things that are artificially watermelon flavored, an AMP energy drink and a Pop-Tart.
Yes, and the AMP watermelon is something I'm a fan of as well. So there's another Mountain Dew product that I like. You know, when the Mountain Dew, you know, the the Black Label came out, they put out a couple other things at the store near me that I saw, and I tried one of them, and it was just Pepsi Ginger Cola. And
what?
Pepsi Ginger Cola. So it was kind of somewhere between a ginger ale and a cola.
I've seen that. I'm intrigued. I might do it for a future article.
I like it specifically as a mixer for bourbon. So it's a really good mixer for bourbon, actually. That's why I bought it, because I was like, this sounds interesting. So I drank one can, and then I went out and bought a few cans to have in the house as a mixer. So I'm out of it now, but I do like it as that. Not that I can't drink it by itself. I can. It's tasty. It's definitely different. Like, I've never had anything else like it. But I would recommend that one as well. So outside of food, is there anything else you want to mention or plug?
Maybe I'll go ahead and mention it.
Okay.
There's been something that I've been working on for a while, and a couple of episodes I mentioned that I had something to talk, great to kind of talk about. One of my friends, not the quite word, acquaintance from high school is doing this landmark case against the UK because she's a victim of revenge porn.
Interesting.
Which, if you don't know what that is, that means essentially her boyfriend filmed her against her will and, raping her, essentially, and then put it on the internet. It's a really sick, horrible thing. You can go to her and her girlfriend's website, Bria and Chrissy. They're on YouTube, but they're trying to raise money to be able to afford to fight the system, essentially, and bring justice to what happened to her.
Do they have, a GoFundMe or anything like that? Like, that people can donate to?
They do, and I think there's a link to it on their, their websites. Yeah.
Well, in between, now and when we post this, I'll make sure I get that information so I can put it up. So that'll be up on the show notes. So anyone listening to this, check the show notes. Definitely go check that out. That's really interesting. So you're going to be doing a piece on that, or how are you going to make the plan?
Yeah, I want to talk to her personally since,
mm-hmm.
we used to, I know her.
Right.
So I'm going to try to get an interview with her just to get it going and put that on the website.
Okay, cool. And then that's really something that I'm very interested in. I've heard, stories of people, getting videos that they didn't know were taken of them, or that they did but didn't have permission to, or whatever, put on the internet as a revenge, and that's I think there's whole websites, I believe, devoted to that bullshit. So
it's a problem that has not really been properly, what's the word I'm looking for? It's a problem that hasn't been addressed properly, and it really needs to be, because it's a big deal.
Yeah. Definitely. It sounds like definitely something that anyone listening, we're united by our love of some movies, but hopefully we're all united also by being decent human beings who want to help support good stuff. So we'll, please check that out, and we'll definitely make sure the links are in the show notes. So to just bring it back up to a little bit less serious note, although it's still pretty serious, I'm really stoked on a movie that's coming out. It's actually, depending on where you live, it's out. It's had, a slow rollout. Movie called Green Room. Are you familiar with Green Room?
I'm not.
Oh, man. All right, so I told you I'm fascinated with hate groups, and I mentioned American History X. So
nice.
It's kind of an interesting tie-in. So this is a horror thriller movie. It's a Siege-type movie where there's this punk band called the Ain't Rights, led by... the lead singer is a guy whose name escapes me from some other stuff, but the names that we would know that are part of the band are Anton Yelchin, Elliot Shawkat, Imogen Poots is in this movie, and Mark Webber. So a young band, and they're broke and, getting gigs, whatever, and they get a gig at this place is kind of like this shady nightclub, but it pays well. Well, it turns out the nightclub's owned by these neo-Nazis, and they are somebody in the band is witness to a murder that happens, and so they all get locked themselves, basically barricade themselves in the green room, while the neo-Nazis are trying to kill them because they saw something. So that's the whole setup for the movie. Apparently,
well, sounds good.
Yeah. It's supposed to be crazy intense. It's by Jeremy Saulnier. If anybody is familiar with his last two movies, they're Blue Ruin, which I absolutely will tell everyone to check out if you haven't. Amazing movie about the short version is kind of like the devil, the lengths that a good person can go to when driven to madness, maybe. A really deep movie about kind of the devils and demons inside us. You know, I don't really know how else to explain it. Pretty incredible. And but it used to be on Netflix. It's not anymore, but I definitely still recommend it. I think it might be on Shudder if anyone's on Shudder. It's not really a horror, but it's got some horror tone to it. And I know it's on some other services now and again. So check out Blue Ruin and his other movie, Murder Party, which is exactly what it sounds like. It's about a murder party. It's about, like, these kids that get together and get this person just simply, like, to murder them. It's really freaking out there. So, that movie's kind of a horror comedy, very much mocking kind of hipster culture. But Blue Ruin's real serious and deep, and this one is supposed to be, like, insanely tense. The whole time. So it's probably one that's not going to be like easy to watch, but I'm a punk guy. Like, I love punk music. I love punk culture. And so for me, like, to get to see this type of like siege thriller, and punk rock kind of merge and supposedly, you know, especially since Jeremy Saulnier kind of grew up in the punk scene, it's a very good, like, real punk, you know, the punks in it, like, in that they're not about, it's not like fashion, it's not like whatever, they're just, you know, kids who are doing this DIY thing and trying to make it, and, you know, I like that because so many times punk is depicted as the fashion in movies, or, like, so stereotypical, and I'm excited to see that without the stereotypical side, so that's definitely what I'm most stoked on right now, and, you know, maybe next time we meet, hopefully I'll have seen that, and I can finally give you my final thoughts and wrap up on my David Lynch project that's taken me like months and months because I'm doing too many things at once. So
I feel ya.
So, well, everyone, I appreciate you coming back and checking us out if you're new, or coming back if you're not. And we'll be back next week, and we're getting closer to the end of the round. So stay tuned over on the Horror Club for what we're going to be doing next round. That is yet to be determined. I guess we'll discuss that with our other folks in charge.
Are we sticking to a theme? And if
I think
so,
we were
going to
talk about a theme. Yeah, you had some thoughts, I think, right?
Yeah, I've got an idea for what I want the theme to be. I want the theme to be like a stalker movie theme.
Stalker movie theme.
Yeah, like movies that have stalkers in them. Horror movies with stalkers. That's what I want.
Horror movies with stalkers. I like that. And anyone listening, put in your 2 cents on this. And I'll talk to Don, who's, like, you know, the other moderator for the group that's still active here, and see what he thinks, and hopefully go from there. If you have some thoughts on that, let us know. I think there's a wide variety of cool stuff that we can cover in that realm. So hopefully that can be kind of our next one. And I'm hoping by the time summer rolls around, we can kind of do a summer movie thing. So I'm just rambling and losing my train of thought. So, hey, okay.
Let's wrap it up.
Let's wrap it up. There we go. That's what I'm looking for. So everyone, thanks a lot for coming by, and we will see you next week.
Bon voyage.
Things are never what they seem.